Thank you, Anthony. Good morning, men. Many of you who have been here or heard me before know I quote my brother on this one fairly often, and that is, he says, the problem in this world is men. What do you think? Do we like that? And he says the solution to the problems in this world is men, godly men. And I agree with that. I really do. And you know, I know that women have problems. They have lots of problems. Most of the time, you can trace those problems back to a man who damaged their life. I can promise you that. God has called men to be godly men, men who accept responsibility, who learn how to deal with their hurts and their pain, and then wounded people wound people, hurt people, healed people, heal people. Yeah. And so encouraged men is a journey of learning how to heal and learning how to become the godly man God has called us up to be. And when I, in dealing with hurting people over the many years, I just see that so much, in fact, I would say almost the majority of the problems I deal with can be traced back to men in their lives, almost always, mostly to dads. And so we're sitting here this morning. We have some young men who are single and they're not married. Awesome, because you can lay a foundation for something to be different in the future. For men who have children at home, it's never too late to step up to the plate and be the godly father that he asks you to be. And you know, as we talk, I know that we can sometimes sit there and evaluate ourselves and go, there's no way. There's no way I can be this man. Yeah, don't think that you have to be perfect, because there's none of us are perfect and we all make mistakes, but God is a redeeming God. We just need to learn how to be humble enough to go back and ask for forgiveness for the mistakes we make. I've had to do that very often. I have, to my wife, to my children. And if we can't do that, then we leave the hurts and the wounds in the hearts of our families. If you're a grandpa, your job's not done. I believe God calls us grandpas up to be godly men in our grandchildren's lives. That generational influence is powerful. So man, I just want to just encourage you. Don't get paranoid about being a dad and so scared you're afraid to move and you're going to blow it and you're not going to do it well. No, just keep on learning and growing. And ask the Father for wisdom on a daily basis to be the husband, the father, the young man, the unmarried man, whatever. Just to be that man, God answers that cry. I testify to that. So as we looked, up there's a picture of my grandpa. That's the older man. Okay, that's my grandpa. And you know, as we're going to be looking at remembering Dad, this an honest look at Dad and I. And this is a combination of lessons 5 and 6 in your book. And so you'll be able to follow along, because the lesson numbers, the page numbers, will be on the screen at the bottom right-hand corner. But that's my grandpa. And you know, I can remember him well. And he died many years ago. But my father was 62 years old when my grandpa died. And I'd like you to hear what my dad said. He said, when he heard that his dad died, he said, "Finally, I'm free." But he wasn't. Because even though his dad had died, his dad had left huge amounts of hurt and pain. And this was years ago, before I understood a lot of what I'm teaching today. I just wished I would have known back then. I could have helped my dad heal. Because he was angry because of what his dad did to him. Just yesterday, I had 3 phone calls, and the one phone call was from two phone calls were from 2 brothers trying to find help for their younger brother. But they made this comment. They said, when we did something wrong, our dad wouldn't talk to us for a week. Do you understand where the hurts and pain come from? You see, and you know, his dad didn't know how to be a dad, and I know their dad, and he's a good friend of mine, and I really like him.
But he hurt his children so deeply because he withdrew when they needed to hear him talk. Men, we can capture our children's hearts, our grandchildren's hearts, and we can be the godly example. Here I am just rattling on. It's not even going over the notes. But that's my great-grandpa. That's my grandpa. Yeah. And you know, when I look at him and how he reacted, I didn't like him. Do you know why? Because he was a preacher in our church. If I'd show you a picture of him when he died, he had a plain suit on, a big beard, and a black hat, and he looked, and I'm not downing any of that. It's just that when we would go to visit him, he'd be sitting close to me. He'd reach over, and he would pinch me just for the fun of it. And it hurt. And so I tried to stay away from him. Here I am, this little kid who should be looking up to his grandpa with eyes of admiration. Instead, he was creating hurt and pain in my life. Not emotional, except just out of my frustration at him. You know, this doesn't work, men. This is not the kind of men God calls us to be. No. So as we look here, you know, we have an old house, and so we're just asking you as men, I don't care how young you are, how old you are, dig deep. We're going to be digging deep this year. We're going to be going in to find the problems and find out where the source of the problems are. And this morning we're going to be talking about dad. And some of us are going to have to deal with ourselves. Some of us are going to have to deal with our fathers. But we bought an old house many years ago. We're living there for, it's hard to believe, we're living there 49 years. I got stuck in that house, okay? It's an old house. It was built back in the 1850s. And when I bought it, there was this cast iron sewage pipe that ran from one corner of the house across the basement and then down the one side all the way and then out into whatever it goes out into. Okay, and you know that old cast iron pipe, it was really solid and heavy, but it was starting to rust through, and so there was ooze, you know, good ooze coming out of it, you know, there was ooze, and I didn't like that, and I knew I had to do something because it would drip on the floor, and I'm going, I don't want to replace this, and I just ignored it for years, and finally got to the place where the toilets weren't flushing very good. And I knew I had to do something about it. You never had to deal with something like that, right? Well, finally, I tore it out, and it was an ugly job, you know, because you had to carry it up the steps and out, and it was dripping ooze all the way with, you know. So anyway, I got it all replaced. Now, nice, clean, schedule 46-inch drain pipe going on, and it looks beautiful and everything else. But you know what I got to? When I got to the foundation, I go, man, I don't know how to get out. These huge stone foundations that went out there. And you know what? Right outside there was a porch and it had a floor in it. And I knew if I had it, I didn't want to go out there. So you know what? I put a rubber boot on it right there. Boop. How long do you think that lasted? And after a while, it still wasn't working. And I had to tear up the porch floor and dig down deep enough that I could actually get the pipe out of. Well, you know the story. Okay, here I'm taking way too long to talk the story. But you know, I had to twice go after that crap and clean it out and get it. Now it works beautiful. But I had to dig down deep. And you know, men, we're just asking you, if you're going to heal, if you're going to be the godly man, you're going to have to go dig down deep and find out where the clog is, where the leaks are, and then we're going to try and work at this. There's three things that will keep you from healing. And the first one is denial. I'm fine. I'm okay. It's you, not me. You know, it was my wife. You know that? It was my wife that caused our problems. I just said, if only she would treat me like I deserve to be treated, we could have a happy marriage. Boy, that stinks. That was part of that sewage line that went out, you know? Yeah, yeah. And the other one is blame. And I blamed well. I'm a good pouter. Really good pouter, and if I didn't get my way, I could pout, but I would just blame everybody else, you know? It wasn't my fault. And the other one is, you know, like the missionary said, I could be a good missionary if it wasn't for these natives. I could be a good dad if it wasn't for my children. I could be a good husband if it wasn't for my wife. Wow, that doesn't work. I could be a good preacher if it wasn't for the people sitting in the pews. You know, we have this, yeah. And then the other thing is, The last thing is if we excuse. You know, deny, blame, excuse. I'm too busy. I got away from my financial matters, and I just had a dad tell me that just recently. It was so much easier to deal with my finances. He mentioned it in church on Sunday. He said, connecting with my children is that's too messy. It's too hard to work. But I can go to work and I can earn money and I can pay the bills and I can be the man of the house. You all right? Okay, some of you there? It does. It's messy. It takes time to connect with our children. Wow. Satan wants us to remain wounded. He wants us hurt. And you know, when we have a wounded heart, it makes us self-centered. You know, you get tired of my illustrations if you've been here a while, but I crushed my finger in a log splitter, and when I pulled my glove off, my finger was hanging straight down. It severed the tendon that made it work, and then I needed microsurgery to put it back together. And you know what? It don't hurt anymore. But boy, it did. It was a mess for quite a while. But you see, as long as that wound was there, as long as that hurt was there, I became very defensive. I protected that hand. One time, Grace, we were in bed, and it had healed pretty well, and it was looking pretty good. But she reached over, and she squeezed my hand. I about came unglued. It hurt so bad. Ow! You know what? And she didn't cause it. The log splitter caused it. It was my fault, not hers. But she, because she's the closest to me, she reached over to squeeze my hand in love. And boy, did it hurt. You see, if you have unhealed wounds, the people who are going to bump your wounds are the people that are closest to you. Does that make any sense? Yeah. So I started wearing an aluminum splint over it because then it didn't matter if somebody bumped it. Yeah. So anyway, so what we want is we want a healed heart, because if you get your heart healed, then you can give love and you can receive love. And that's what God wants us. He wants us to understand that you can't go through life without having wounds. But he wants us healed, and he is the great physician. He is the healer. All of us have heart wounds. Unhealed wounds magnify our fallen nature. And it causes us to be very self-focused, very selfish and self-centered. It really does. And a wounded heart can't focus on the needs of our families. God wants us healed so that we can have empathy. You see, your wounds, when I look back on my past and my hurts and my problems, I couldn't be where I am today without going through those and finding healing. But going through that gave me an empathy. It also gave me a passion to say, we've got to do something about this. And it's sort of where Encourage Men flowed out of. Knowing that we needed answers, we needed men, I needed help. And I found help through this material that was being taught. And then, do you know what? As I've taught it over the years, I found more healing. Yeah, that's God's plan. You know, many years ago, some of us are going to view this from the role of a son. Almost many of us will, because we're all sons. But some of us will view this teaching from a father's position and how I'm going to be as a father to my sons, grandfather to my grandchildren. I know years ago, it was back in the 1970s, 80s, there was in the news, and many of you aren't old enough to remember this, but there was a man by the name of Jeffrey Dahmer. Anybody remember that name, Jeffrey Dahmer? Yeah, there's a couple hands go up. Yeah, well, guess what? He was out, I think it was in Chicago, and he was kidnapping young men, and he was dismembering them and eating them. What do you think of that? That's just, you know, see, that's totally unbelievable. But his dad, Lionel Dahmer, says this. He said, and so I wasn't there to see him as he drifted toward isolation and fantasy and began to sink into himself. And that would take me nearly 30 years to recognize. You see, he wasn't in his son's life. He wasn't watching. He wasn't observing what his son was going through. And I'm just telling you, you need to keep your eyes open. You need to look around. You need to see what's going on in your children's lives. You know, this young man that needs help, and I was talking to his brothers, you know, he's suicidal. He's really struggling, and they're concerned that he will hurt either himself or others because of the wounds that he's carrying. When he was a young man, when he did something his dad was displeased with, instead of his dad coming and saying, hey, let's sit down and talk about this, his dad wouldn't talk to him for a week. That don't work. It doesn't work. Yeah. You know, here's some old statistics. 1990 is the oldest that's there. But just look from 1960. These are children living apart from biological fathers. Look, from 1960 to 1990, that rate doubled. And you know, I put the statistics in here from 2010, which is still now 11 years old. And it doubled again. It from 38.3%, it is 77%. Can you believe this? In fact, I put up another chart that I found. And these are children living with mother only. Isn't that amazing? Look what happened from 1960 to 2012. And once again, it's already 9 years old, but the rate tripled for women who are... You see, there's absent fathers in our world. And that's a problem. That's a major problem. There's a... David Blankenhorn wrote a... There's a quote by him. He wrote an article. He said, as a father, a man is not perfect, but he's good enough to be irreplaceable. Can you hear that? As a father on the premises, his children need him, and he strives to give them what they need every day. He knows that nothing can substitute for him. Nothing. Either he is a father or his children are fatherless. He should never consider himself not that important. Do you hear that, men? I know, you might feel inadequate as a dad, as a grandpa, or whatever, but you are irreplaceable, okay? Realize that God has you there for a plan and a purpose. It's interesting that in Proverbs it says, the glory of sons is their father. You need to be your son's heroes, okay? And yes, young men that you're here, single, yes, are your fathers perfect? Far from it. I was far from it. But your father's, God placed them in your life for a plan and a purpose, and honor them. But there's some fathers who have hurt us so deeply that it's really difficult for us to honor, but we must honor their position because God placed them there for us. I'm taking way too long to go over this material because time's going to get away from us. A wound, okay, here it is. A wound is any unresolved issue, and Curtis had gone over this, and Curtis said, wow, I listened to Curtis's teaching. I wasn't here. We were away. He opened this up, and looking back and unpacking, and his father was here. That took a lot of courage. You know, that took a lot of courage for Curtis to put that lesson together and teach it. Can you realize that? It did. But he accepted that responsibility and did it well. But a wound is any unresolved issue where a lack of closure adversely impacts and shapes the direction and dynamics of a man's life now. That was in a past page, okay? So now let's look at the absent father wound, and now you can start filling in on your page, on page 20. But it says a father wound is an ongoing emotional, social, or spiritual deficit ordinarily met in a healthy relationship with dad that now must be overcome by other means. And then how do we overcome that deficit? Well, we do it in unhealthy ways by becoming workaholics, and that was me. That was really me. I felt good at work. I felt inadequate at home. The area where you feel most competent will capture your hearts. But instead of allowing something that is a replacement to capture your heart, you must make wise choices to say, but this is my responsibility. And I will step up to the plate and do that. It's an ongoing emotional, social, or spiritual deficit that if we don't fill it, it'll have to be filled in with some other way. So here's a quick exercise, okay? I want you to do this. There's pages, there's some lines there. It's on page 20. Quick exercise. Write down three words or phrases that you think of. When you think about dad, just write down three words. When you think about dad, what are the first three words that come to your mind? Okay? What are the first three words that come to your mind? And while you're thinking about that and even doing that, I'm going to tell you what mine are. I'm going to tell you the exercise because I did this. So when I think of my dad, the first one I wrote down was loner. He was a loner. Okay, he never connected with his dad. He had a hard time connecting with other people. He was a loner. So he chose jobs, and he was self-employed most of his life. He was not a good financial manager, so we were living in need all the time. We rented all our lives. We were always behind on the rent. It was just a real challenge, but he was a loner. He picked jobs where he could work by himself instead of with other people. Okay? He couldn't handle those relationships. And it's interesting because he was great with kids, but not with adults. It was after church, he would go out and sit in his car. And if you look out there, here's all these young boys sitting in his car with him. And I have grown men come to me now, and they say, they just love Dad. They just love my dad because he'd be out there sitting in his car, and he'd have the car running in wintertime when it was so it would warm up. And he would let them put their foot on the gas pedal and rev the engine, and they just thought this was awesome. But see, he could connect with children. And my children loved their grandpa because he connected with them. But he struggled with adults. Because why? Why did he struggle with adults? I just talked to a a mother of five children just recently, and so she said she just loved animals. She said, I just loved animals. I still love animals, but I don't like people. And I said, so could you tell me why? She goes, because people hurt you. That make any sense? Yeah. And so she still struggles with adult relationships because people hurt you. And she has to have her guard up all the time. Some of you relate. Some of you connect to that. The other thing the other word I put down is a failure. You know, I already told you that, especially financial. He could never complete a project. He would start things and quit. He would be self-defeating. The other one I wrote down was unconditional love. He was a strict disciplinarian, and my brothers and I, we talk about this. We're so grateful that he was a strict disciplinarian because he didn't allow us to get away with dumbness. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of integrity, but he had so much hurt and pain that he didn't handle life well. And so he would give sacrificially. He would give too sacrificially to others so that even his family wouldn't have enough. And that's he. It was just one way that I think he was trying to gain acceptance. Wow. So the results of an absent father wound on page 21, the first one is anger and pain. Anger or pain that springs out of seemingly nowhere is connected to somewhere. Okay? And it says, and you know, scriptures tell us, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. And you know, when you are, and men, I know there's men here who struggle with anger. I did. And when you're struggling with anger, there's a root, there's a cause. And look at the scriptures here. Fathers, don't provoke your children in anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And the second one says, fathers, don't provoke your children lest they lose heart. I see this when I'm working with hurting people. I see it all the time. But so much of our anger goes back to not connecting with Dad, or some of the words he said, or some of the words he did not say, or some of the things he did. My father was probably too firm of a disciplinarian, and some of it bordered on abuse. But it was balanced by a totally huge unconditional love. If it wasn't for that, I think all of us would really struggle with some of that. But he loved us, and we knew that. We knew he would die for us. Our dad would have. I just really believe that with all my heart. James Toney was a middleweight boxing champ, and he says, I fight with anger. My dad did my mom wrong. He made her work two jobs, and he left his responsibilities behind, and I can never forgive him for that. Now listen to what his words are. I hope my father reads this article, for if he ever decides to come out of the woodwork, I'll be ready for him. Everything I do in the boxing ring is about that. I'll be ready for him. I look at my opponent, and I see my dad, so I take it out on him. I'll do anything I have to get my dad out of there. You hear that? So when somebody else crawled in the ring with that guy who was boxing, he didn't realize it, but he was that man's dad, and he focused. He was a champ. Why? It was motivated out of a huge anger toward his father. And he looked at his opponent. He put his dad in his opponent, and he was going to take him out of that ring. It's interesting what anger does to us. Creates a huge amount of problems. That anger, that's pain. It doesn't justify any of his actions, but it does explain why it happened. It really does. Okay. Results of absent father wound is extreme behaviors, addictions, or obsessions. If you're struggling with moral failure, you know, porn, drugs, alcohol, workaholism, if something is obsessive, dig and dig deep. Okay? See if, you know, see where it's at. It's there. There's a reason why men are plastered all over the news media in anger, violence, and immorality. These connections don't get dealt with. They don't get dealt with if you cover the pipe back up or if you ignore it. I had to dig that pipe up. You're going to have to dig the pipe up. How many of us have said, boy, I'll never look at that again. I'll never get that angry again. I'll never do that again. And weeks later, we're right back at it again. You see, there's something in us that just drives. It's something that connects. There's this inner sense of lostness and incompleteness. If your dad was absent, this exists in your life. And he might have been present physically, but he might have been absent emotionally. And maybe he was absent physically. How many of you ever heard of Burt Reynolds, the movie actor? He starred in some really big movies, and I'm not a moviegoer. I just know the name. But I have a quote by Burt Reynolds here. My dad was a police chief. When he came into the room, all the light and the air went out. Between my dad and me, we never hugged, never kissed, never said, I love you. No, we never even cried together. Later, I was always looking for someone to say, hey, Bert, you've grown up now. I approve of you. I love you. And you don't have to do these things anymore. But that didn't happen, and I was lost inside. For most of my life, I didn't connect. I was incomplete. I didn't know then what I needed to know. And here's this man who people looked up to. He was very handsome. He had all the women after him and everything else. But here, those were his words. You hear, and you see, he went after immorality. He went after all kinds of garbage to fill the void that was there. Yeah, dig, dig. This is fixable. And we're going to get there, but it must be uncovered and revealed before it can be dealt with. So don't be afraid to dig. It's not easy. You know, another one is homosexuality. And you think we don't have this dealing with this? Oh yeah, we deal with same-sex attraction in the Anabaptist world. I can promise you that. I know. Talk to people. And it's usually a fracturing of the relationship of a same-sex parent at an early age. And as soon as we hear this one, we go, "Oh, that's not me. I don't have that absent father wound. No, sir, not me." But you know what? There's multitudes of reasons for homosexuality. Not just that, but that's a big one. Elizabeth Mosley, who was an Oxford University professor, wrote this. Homosexuality is a fracture of the relationship with the parent of the same sex. At an adult level, it becomes a vain attempt to recover the fracture. If this wound is in our lives, we'll attempt to resolve it one way or another. If my father's been missing, I'll fill the gap one way or another. This is the way it works. It really is. So what is it that every son wants from his father? Okay. Time together. So men, you wonder how to be a dad, how to be a grandpa? Here it is. I had an awesome experience about 3 weeks ago. I mean, this is a dream come true for me, and I know many of you do much, much more. But my grandsons were going to they live up in Elk Country, up in Cameron County, St. Mary's area, Emporium, and so we go up 120 up there, and the Cinnamahoning Creek comes down through. It's to me, it looks more like a river, but they were gonna kayak down the creek fishing. My two grandsons, 17 and 14, man, are they ever fishermen. They just love to fish. Papaw's not a fisherman. But I called up and I asked my daughter, I said, hey, can I go fishing with them? And they said, they were all excited about this, that Papaw would go fishing. Man, I spent a day floating down the Cinnamahoning Creek watching my grandsons fish. And I did not have a fishing rod. That was a highlight. Man, we had a blast. And they caught lots of fish and threw them back in. I was the only one that flipped and got totally soaked. Just thought you'd want to know that. Okay. Just thought so. Okay. But we long for time together with our fathers. My dad made attempts. He didn't like hunting. My dad was not a hunter. But you know what? He'd put his big old heavy coat on, and he knew his sons wanted to go hunting, and he would stand out in the woods like I went fishing without a fishing rod. He would stand out in the woods without a gun while so us boys could hunt. You know? And you know, that makes an impression on me. Because he made sacrifices so that we could enjoy something. And he couldn't afford to take off work, but he would take off work to take us hunting. That's amazing love. That was time together, standing out in the cold without a gun so we who were obsessed with hunting could sit out there. And I never saw deer anyway, but I guess it was too noisy. We want life skills. We need to teach our children how to do life. It doesn't come automatically. You know, in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. It's our responsibility, fathers, to train our children in the way they will go. Even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So we need to take responsibility. Our son needs to be taught how to do life. Yeah. Directions with solid why answers. When children ask you questions, you need to come up with age-appropriate answers. You need to respond with answers. Don't just shove it off and say, don't ask the question like that. Especially if your children ask you questions about sexuality or things like that, you need to be there with answers. Okay? Do you want your children to learn about sex the way you learned about it? I want you to answer that question in your own heart. I didn't want my children to learn it that way. I don't want my grandchildren to learn it that way. Okay. They need life skills. They need directions with solid why answers. Yeah. In fact, in Deuteronomy it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. There's not much time that's not mentioned there, bros. That covers it all, doesn't it? You know, we need to talk about the real issues of life. You need to talk to your children about porn. It's not if they will seek porn, it's when. Okay? And they need to be prepared for it. I talked with many young men who say, man, I wasn't ready for that. It just caught me off guard. And wow, I was dealing with feelings and emotions and struggles that I didn't know what to deal with. If only my dad would have talked to me about this and prepared me for the temptations I was going to deal with. Convictions through modeling. Okay, we need a model. We mustn't just say it. Don't just tell me. Show me by the way you live. We are supposed to walk this walk, men. Okay, you are witnesses, Paul says, and so is God. I can't even read it from this, my eyes are failing. How devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you, believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. Do you see that? As a father would his own children. He's saying, you are witnesses of how I walked. Follow me, he says, as I follow Christ. Yeah. Okay. And then, do you know what they really want? They want dad's heart. Our children want dad's hearts. They want grandpa's hearts. I have the awesome privilege. We have 17-year-old and a 14-year-old grandsons. We have 7-year-old and 5-year-old granddaughters. Man, they come Friday evenings after school and spend the night and Saturday with us, so the girls do. It is just a delightful time. It's just a wonderful time, but I want them to know that I have their hearts, and they have mine. They need to hear. I love you. Your sons need to hear it. I'm proud of you. This is what you're good at. And look what Jesus heard from his father. This is what Jesus heard from his father. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Do you know what he was doing? Do you know what Jesus was getting from his Father? Peter says that he was receiving glory from his Father when he heard those words. Peter records those words, and he says it came from a resplendent glory where Jesus received glory and honor when his daddy said, when his Father said, "This is my son." That's belonging. "This is my beloved son." That's unconditional love. And he has something important to say. Listen to him. That's value. Give your children belonging, love, value. Then they can handle life. They can handle life. There's a letter. Listen to this letter. "My father was killed in World War II when I was 3 years old." You know, it was interesting. We talked about that the first time. I'll let that alone. "My father was killed in World War II when I was 3 years old. I knew in my heart that he loved me. My mother told me that he loved me. But I always longed to hear it for myself from him. And when my mother and my stepfather retired to Alaska, I came over one day to help them pack. Mom took an old photograph of my father in his army uniform from off the dresser and gave it to me and said, 'Here, this is for you. I know your father would have wanted you to have it.' It was the same photograph I'd seen for years. As I took it from her, I dropped it, and the cheap metal frame broke, shattering the glass. And with a sinking heart, I reached down to salvage what was left of this treasure. And behind the photograph, I found a letter placed there 37 years before. And it was a letter from my father to me, his 3-year-old son, the last letter he had written before he died. In it, he said that he loved me, that he longed to come home and be with me. And unbelievably, I finally heard the words I had longed to hear from my dad." Your children need to hear it from you while you're living. Some of us will never hear it from our dads because they're gone. But we have this opportunity. So where are we with this? You know, now we're going to move to the next lesson, and we're going to have to really move because we're taking too much time. But questions for your small group. So if you're a small group leader, you can go back to these questions. But let's look at facing the father wound. A summary of where we are. We are in the process of seeking to make sense of why we are the way we are. That's where we're at. We're trying to make sense of this. But what you do and I do as men with the wound we received at the hands of our dad, some of us have an opportunity to pursue this because dad's still alive, like Curtis did. Some of us don't because dad's gone. Some of us have no idea who this man is. He's that disconnected from our lives. Some of you will be seeing it as, well, how can I create an environment with my son so they don't grow up with the same father wound? Well, whether your dad will ever become the father you desire or not, the reality is that you need to be the dad. And as a son, you can only really be concerned now with how you are going to talk and treat your son. When a child is young, a father's writing, this is so, so important, men. When a child is young, a father is writing on his children's hearts the image of their heavenly father. So much of the way we view God comes from the way we see our earthly fathers. If we have been wounded by a father that's absent, uninvolved, uncaring, whatever, or if we've wounded our own sons, then we want to begin the process of healing and fixing those wounds that are in there. We live in a fallen world, and we interact with wounded and immature people all the time, for all have wounds. And here's something that's so interesting. God understands those wounds, and he wants them healed. Did you know that here, and this is so fascinating, that if somebody has a deep wound that happened when they were 7, 8 years old, or 10 or 12, now as an adult, when that same wound is bumped, you will start acting at the age of where that wound was created. Do you wonder why some adults act childish? Aren't you glad it's not you? Yeah. But you see, if we've been deeply wounded by our fathers or someone else when we were young, when that same wound is bumped, we will act out that age. That's pretty important for us to know. Anyway, We're all in this process. We each have a story to tell. And we're trying to make sense of why we are the way we are. The unexamined life is not worth living. Okay, it's in your small group today. These are opportunities to tell your story. Maybe pick out a brother in your small group and go out for breakfast with them and tell your story in detail. We need to hear each other. We need to tell the story. We need somebody who will listen and empathize. We really do. We each have a story. And each of us, to some degree or the other, is a product of the past. This is what I see. We must deal responsibly with our past, or our past will deal viciously with us. This is something I just totally am convinced of. We must deal responsibly with our past, or our past will deal viciously with us. Those past wounds need to be healed. I see that. We must deliberately, consciously continue on the journey to authentic manhood. We must own and accept responsibility. We must own and accept responsibility for our responses to the past. Okay? Our responsibility is to be responsible for our responses. We mustn't blame, deny, or excuse. So we're exploring these wounds. Okay? Each of us, in some way, is controlled by the past until we consciously and willfully deal with this. This wound is being inflicted at a major, it's just happening so fast. So fast. A father wound is this ongoing emotional or spiritual deficit ordinarily met in a healthy relationship with dad that must now be overcome by other means. We already went over that. And here's this wound is being inflicted upon sons at epidemic levels today. Time magazine wrote this. The damage caused by a... This is Time magazine. This is the world. This isn't church literature. The damage caused by father's absence may be severe and may last a lifetime. It's a shadow. The longing of sons for their fathers is almost physical, something passionate, profound. It's almost mysterious to sons that what it is that they want from their fathers, but I've seen it in other men, and I see it in my own sons. It's their longing for me. Do you know your sons long for you? Your daughters do too. Your daughters do too. Yeah. There was a time of 400 years between the Old Testament and New Testament where God is silent. And the last words written before that was this. Well, I'm sorry. I just put that quote in there by Lance Morrow. Let's see. Here it is. He will restore. This is Malachi, the last couple of verses of the Old Testament. He will restore the hearts, or he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. That grips me, man. That grips me. And I believe today we're dealing with the curse. The curse is here. In fact, in Romans 1:24, it says, God turned them over to lustful desires. In verse 26, it says, God gave them over to vile affections. In verse 28, it says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You see, there was this progression of God turning them over. Why did he turn them over? Because when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. They didn't worship him as God. And because of that, God turned them over. You see, when the hearts of the fathers aren't turned toward the children, the hearts of the children aren't turned toward the fathers, we are inviting God's judgment. Man, I want to go other places with this. This fall in November 11th and 12th is the Anabaptist Awareness for Sexual Abuse, and wow, I've been working on material for that, and it is gripping me. It is gripping me. One of the workshops I have is called, listen to this. One of the workshops is called The System and Angry Defectors. What should I do with that, man? The System and Angry Defectors. Do you know what I've been doing? I've been interviewing angry defectors. And boy, do I hear a lot. It's people who have been wounded and damaged by dads, But then what's interesting is because it's not handled well by church leaders, I've had people say the wounds that came from not from their hurts of abuse were worse from the church leaders not hearing them and caring for them. Can you hear that, men? We got a lot of work to do, brothers. Man, I went on a bunny trail. Okay. So, that's what the curse is here, okay? 8 proactive ways, remedies for the father wound. There's a statement there that says, if your dad makes sure your son has the essentials, it's difficult to be a father until you first become a son. And what is the meaning of that? It means that you need to understand. And I wish we could go there and we can't. We need to understand what it means to have our Heavenly Father as a loving Father who loves us so much. He died for us. And until we understand what it means to be a loved son and chosen by God through Jesus, we have a hard time being the father we need to be. The essentials, okay? Make sure that your son hears, I love you. That's affection. Make sure he hears your mind. That's belonging. I'm proud of you. That's admiration. That's a healthy pride, man. I remember hearing people tell me, well, my parents wouldn't ever give me any compliments because they didn't want me to get swollen. You know, we heard at church all the time that we should never have our hearts lifted up. And that's true. We should never have a wrong kind of pride. But our children need to hear that we as parents are pleased with them. Okay? You're good. That's affirmation. You're good at what you're doing. And we need to help them. Can you always give them these compliments? No, because sometimes they're blowing it. I know your children don't, mine did. Okay. But you need to look for ways when you can give them these things. You need to. Make sure he has a manhood vision. What does a man look like? And a ceremony that seals it. I think sometime around the time when your son is 12 years old, and I was really pleased with my son-in-law and my daughter, when their son turned 12, they had the pastor of their church, they had grandpa come, and they had us speak words into our grandson, 12-year-old grandson's life. Words of affirmation, words of approval, words of challenge and encouragement. That was a ceremony. It was around a campfire. It was really special. It was really neat. Yeah. A code of conduct to live by, a heart for God over a strong work ethic. A transcendent cause, a reason to live other than themselves, and that's bigger than themselves. So if you're a dad, it's never too late. It's never too late, never, 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 to close the gap, no matter how old you are or how old your children are. My children are grown. They're out of the home, and I still try and reach out to them to make sure that if I've hurt them, okay, I think we're good. I can't think of anything, but I had to go back and make some things right. If you're a dad, a single dad or separated from your sons physically or whatever means, or a dad who has never connected or has lost connection, seek help and find a way. Okay? Find a way. Yeah, there it is. Sorry. If you're a son that's wounded by dad, choose to touch this wound responsibly. We'll have to close the gap, and it's up to us men. You know, there's 2 ways to respond. I might be going too fast for you, but we got to keep moving. I took too much time. We need to go to small group. If you're a son wounded by dad, choose to touch this wound responsibly. By choosing to forgive dad. Number 8, my brother Frank teaches, I just love the way he teaches forgiveness. So, man, that's four sessions from now. He's going to be doing one on forgiveness, the healing of forgiveness. It's going to be powerful. I'm going to encourage you to make sure. But choosing to forgive. Forgiveness is allowing another Father God to get involved with your relationship with your dad. Yeah, I met very few dads that have intentionally tried to do bad. Most have done it unintentionally, and so we need to understand that. I was so pleased that Curtis made that CD or that MP3 available. Paradoxical Parents. How many of you found that interesting? You find that helpful? If you haven't, if you don't have it and you want it, talk to Curtis. He'll get it for you. He will. Hebrews 12. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, for they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. They didn't do it perfectly, but our God, our Father, disciplines us for our own good. They tried. But what if you had a dad who was intentionally evil and knew it was evil? I just got a call last night from a father, from a brother-in-law, who's saying, "What do we do? My brother-in-law is physically abusing his wife and his children. What do we do with that?" And we had to talk about some tough stuff. That was last evening before I came here. Okay, stuff goes on and on. So what do we do then? Number two is by choosing to believe in God's justice. By choosing to believe in God's justice. I had a young lady whose father abused her ever since she's little and then did unspeakably horrible things to her later. I'm not even going to talk about it. Okay. But she says the one thing that brings her comfort is to believe in God's justice. It's the only way because, you see, she went for help and nobody believed her. The church leaders didn't believe her. Even the law didn't believe her. Then this was many years ago. Today they're starting to believe her. But her dad just escapes. He just moves into another church to escape the responsibilities. And she goes, but vengeance, and so that's where the scripture says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And you know what, if that man doesn't repent, and I don't know, it doesn't sound like he is, but it's better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he drowned in the depths of the sea that he would offend one of these little ones. And he offended her so deeply. 1 Peter, this is a powerful verse. He says, who, when he was reviled, this is Jesus. He did not revile in return. Men, when we are attacked or reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't retaliate, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. Our Father will judge righteously. We do not have to take vengeance. He sees everything and he sees it perfectly. So if you're a son wounded by dad, courageously seek reconciliation with your father. Okay. This is tough stuff. It's stepping up to our manhood. Step up and try and close the gap to the very best of our ability. We may not be able to reconcile. But it's necessary that we attempt to do so. There may be a separation between you and dad that springs from dad's relationship shortcomings. Don't let that stop you. There may be a separation between you and dad because of past conflict. It needs to be cleaned up. Perhaps you've done things that have hurt him. Go back and ask him for forgiveness. My dad was so wounded, and he didn't know how to deal with that pain. I'm talking about me. My dad was so wounded. He didn't want to deal with that pain, and he gave and he gave, and he ran to escape it. And at times, I added to his hurt. My grandpa, my other grandpa, I worked for him, and because he didn't pay me enough, I was justified stealing from him. So I would steal gas and oil, and years later, I had to go back, and I had to ask him for forgiveness. You see, I was the one who was wrong, but I justified it by my justification. And you know, I remember going to him, and it was one of the toughest things I ever did. I said, "Grandpa, I need to ask your forgiveness." I said, "I've been stealing from you for the last several years that I worked for you. I've been taking oil. I've been taking gas." And I would justify it because he wasn't paying me enough. And he goes, "It's all right, Jason." I said, "No, Grandpa, I need forgiveness. Will you forgive me?" "It's okay, Jason." I said, "Grandpa, I need forgiveness." And you know, he forgave me. And I went to give him a hug. You ever hug a board? But you know what's interesting? After that, he came to me for hugs. It was a breakthrough. It was a breakthrough. So, if you're a son wounded by dad, risk asking for your father's love. Risk asking for your father's blessing. Father, thank you for this precious time together this morning. As the men go to small group, would you open hearts and would you just allow your spirit to move? Would you start this process of bringing a healing? Would you help us to dig deep, uncover those rotten, rusted, leaking, clogged pipes that we can clean it out so that things can flow smoothly? Father, bring a healing that only you can bring. You are the great healer and redeemer. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.